Today on Older and Wiser.
Does it seem like you've always got something wrong with you? A new survey reveals how often we actually feel healthy.
Also today, why most people seldom make new friends, and why household chores might break up your marriage.
Plus the vegetables we love and the ones we hate. We've got the statistics.
You're listening to Older and Wiser. Hey folks, I'm Bob Bates in Los Angeles, along once again with my good friend Susan Sikora up there in Petaluma. How you feeling?
Well, you know.
Is there an ache or a pain you can tell me about without, you know, taking all day?
Well, no, I can't.
What is it about older people? We do like to talk about our pains and our aches.
No, I remember one time I was in the parking lot. We were visiting the family in Ohio, and my Aunt Mary said, you know, she goes, look, I had my appendix out, and she showed me the scars. I thought, I'm never going to do that. And now I'm in some version of that almost every day of my life.
It gives us a story. I think that's it.
You know, it's like we're like old cars. Little parts start falling apart.
It's absolutely true. On a scale of 1 to 10, how are you feeling today?
I'm about a 6.
Okay. Our first survey today comes to us from studyfinds.org. Here's the headline. The average adult feels perfectly healthy for just 12 days per month. Okay, so that's 30 days in a month, so 12 days isn't very often that you feel perfectly fine.
Really? I think that's high.
It does feel a little high. I'm trying to think, when was the last day I felt perfectly healthy? This survey of 2,000 Americans reveals that the average person feels perfectly healthy less than half the year, 12 days a month, without suffering any aches or pains. That equates to just 144 days a year.
Now, did they say what ages they talk to? Because I would think if you're 20 in your 20s or 30s and you have this issue, then maybe something's wrong or you're not taking care of the machine that you're in. You know?
I would guess that it's a bit of an average because, to be honest with you, when you're over 60, I doubt that there are many days that go by where you could say, I don't have a pain, I don't have a runny nose, I don't have a little bit of a headache. You know, there's always going to be something when you're 60 or older. So if they mix all those people in with the young 20s who feel good all the time, maybe it comes out about half.
I have a friend of mine I talk to almost every day, and she'll say, my stomach's off. My stomach's off. I said, what does that mean?
I have that. No, my stomach's off sometimes.
Off.
Yeah. Where it's not like you feel a big pain, but you're feeling a little queasy, but not like you're going to throw up, just off.
I do like an occasional glass of wine, sometimes more than occasional. But now I haven't had a glass of wine in a couple of months because I notice when I have it, because it's acidic, I get a little bout of heartburn right after it.
Well, you know, we all try to self-diagnose. We all have a medical issue, and we try things to see if we can't fix it before the doctor has to tell us what to do about it.
The internet certainly makes that even easier and more tempting.
It absolutely does. And there are a ton of old wives' tales out there. This survey that was sponsored by a probiotics company, they wanted to find out what some home remedies and old wives' tales people still believe in when they're feeling kind of crummy. Okay. And believe it or not, about half of Americans still believe the old adage, an apple a day keeps the doctor away.
Okay, now, I think an apple's a good thing to eat. I mean, I haven't heard anybody say, don't eat apples.
Well, they taste good, and it feels healthy to eat one, so that's a good thing.
And they're roughage.
This survey says that 42% of adults don't fall for the old wives' tale that claims that eating carrots will improve your vision.
Yeah, I always thought that was a little bit of a stretch, frankly.
I mean, there is vitamin A in carrots, and that's been known to help eyes translate light.
Yeah, yeah.
55% believe that milk builds strong bones. Do you think that's just an advertising gimmick?
I don't know. I mean, it does have calcium.
Sure. 47% agree that drinking orange juice or eating chicken noodle soup can cure a cold. What do you think?
Chicken noodle soup. There's a remedy to that, and it's comforting for one thing. It's not spicy. It's kind of bland, and yet it has some taste to it as long as you don't have too much salt. But it's also supposedly the steam that goes up your nose as you're having it.
Of course.
Now, I can't say that that's not true of tomato soup or potato soup or some other soup, but chicken soup tends to be the one that everybody says, you know.
It's a clear broth, it won't upset your stomach and so forth. 41% of people believe chocolate causes acne. No.
I don't care what chocolate causes. I'm not giving it up.
We did used to believe that in high school, though. You're eating too much chocolate.
Yes.
You're going to get acne from that.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
pizza, too. Yeah. People said, don't eat pizza. You'll get a pizza face.
Oh, I never heard that.
Yeah.
But see, I'm from New Jersey and I'm half Italian, so you wouldn't say that.
You gotta
freaked out by the community.
40% of people warn that eating turkey makes you tired.
Well, isn't the tryptophan in that?
Well, that's what they say, and I always feel tired after Thanksgiving dinner. I don't know if it's just...
That's because everybody pigs out at Thanksgiving dinner. There's nothing you have to do except watch a game or a parade on TV.
That could be it. 39% of people fear that too much caffeine stunts your growth. No.
That I really think is weird.
Hey, did you ever believe the old wives' tale that swallowing your gum, if you swallow your gum, it takes 7 years to digest that?
Now, I never heard that. I never heard the 7 years thing.
Yeah, it'll stick in there. Yeah. Yeah, 39% of people believe that it takes 7 years to digest your gum if you do that. Sleeping with wet hair causes a cold.
Nah.
Cracking your knuckles will lead to arthritis.
My mother used to say that. She said she sat in church waiting for Mass to start when she was a kid, and she would be cracking her knuckles, and she said that's why she had arthritis and her knuckles were swollen. Yeah. I think that probably has to do with the swollen joints.
It's been debunked. Doctors say no, that's not true.
Yeah, it's bizarre.
All right, let's move on to our next survey today. Here's the headline, and I thought this was pretty interesting. The average American has not made a new friend in 5 years.
This is sad.
That doesn't mean they don't have friends. They just don't have a new friend.
New friend. First of all, I think if you're going to stay in touch with the friends that you grew up with, unless you live across the street from each other for your entire lives, no matter what happens, it's going to be hard to keep that going unless you work at it. Also, you become different people as you grow up.
But making the new friends thing? I mean, why should people continue to try to make new friends and not just hang on to those high school friends forever?
Well,
what's the advantage of new friends over old friends?
I think it expands your horizons a little bit. You have to invest some work and some effort into doing it. And I thought, you know, instead of standing there and thinking, should I say, you know, hi, my name is Susan? Don't think about it long. Just say it. If they say, hi, I'm Liz or Mary or Joe or whatever, then fine. Then you've got something going. And if you say and you remember the name next time, you start to develop a little bit of a relationship.
I do agree with that theory that the longer you wait, the more likely you are to turn away and not do
it. Yes.
If you just barge right into things, you're better off. Yeah.
Don't overthink it.
Don't overthink it. Absolutely.
Just wanting to make a new friend. I guess that's what it comes down to. You have to want to do it.
This survey of 2,000 Americans, which was commissioned by Evite, reveals that 45% of adults admit they have a hard time finding new friends. And one of the big reasons, 2 in 5, 42%, said they have trouble making friends because they feel they are introverted or they are just naturally shy.
If you don't make an effort to walk out of your door, they're not, you know, the community is not going to come to your door and say, hi, we heard you were here. We felt you were here. We wanted to make friends.
Yeah, you have to get out of your comfort level.
Absolutely.
You're comfortable at home. You're safe. You don't risk anything. But if you go out, it's riskier, but you don't gain anything, right?
That's exactly right.
Do you think that people refer to themselves as shy or introverted in order to sort of make themselves feel better and allow themselves to not step out there?
I think it may be a rationale for not, again, as I said, doing the work or investing a little energy into it.
The survey suggests that because of commitments to family, 29%, making friends, 28%, moving to a new city, 21%. These are all reasons why people said they have trouble making new friends. This is interesting, I thought. Most respondents said that their peak popularity was at age 23, while 36% of those surveyed said their popularity peaked before age 21. When were you most popular?
Wow.
Socially popular, had the most friends, felt like you had the world
by
a string.
Define popular.
You have more friends than you know what to do with. Or the most friends you ever had.
I don't know when I was popular.
Well, nearly half of the people said they still keep in touch, speaking of that, with close friends from high school. Another 31% say they stay in touch with friends they made in college. I don't keep in touch with anybody from high school. nor do I keep in touch with anybody from college. But you that's just me.
I have a friend. I'm going to tell you something. I have a friend that I've known since kindergarten.
Oh, wow. That's impressive.
Yes, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, no kidding.
And my friend Arlene, and she and I, and we lost touch with each other for a while. She was not at my wedding because it was a time when I didn't know where she was. I was not at her wedding, same thing. And then we kind of reconnected through, I think, class reunions. That's why I like class reunions, by the way, if you can go.
That is a long friendship.
Yeah.
That is
yeah,
a long friendship.
It really is.
And most people say that 82%, in fact, say that lasting friendships are hard to find. And one that lasts since kindergarten, that's a needle in a haystack, I'll tell you.
Pick up the phone, find the phone
keep
number, and see where they are.
Yeah.
Because as many friends as I'm telling you about, I probably have as many in my address book. Yes, I still have one, boys and girls, that I haven't called in
you
a while.
Called, yeah.
I wonder where he is or she is or if they're okay or if they're even still alive at this
point.
Well,
that's it. You hate to call them up and find out they're dead. That's the
worst. Well, you know what? According to this survey, you kind of wonder if they're not sitting at the other end and thinking, I wonder where Susan is.
She could be dead by now. That's exactly right. All right, let's move on to our next survey. I like this headline. It caught my attention. This stunning survey reveals 1 in 4 adults has never eaten vegetables.
What?
Never eaten vegetables.
Oh, they didn't grow up with my mother.
I know. Well, I guess it tells you something about America, you know, if you and you don't count French fries as a vegetable. I mean, I think that would be part of what they don't. This survey of 2000 Americans, they were asked which vegetables they like and dislike the most. 91% said they love to eat corn.
Have you ever had raw corn on the cob?
No. Is that good?
Yes. And if you put a little lime juice on it, it's interesting, too. Although if it's really sweet, you can just eat it raw. Now, I will tell you this. Roughage alert.
Oh, you're going to...
That's all I'm saying.
Okay, well, we won't go any further on that.
Okay.
Potatoes came in extremely close second at 91%.
I love potatoes.
Also, carrots and tomatoes were tied for third most liked vegetable at 89%. I'm surprised carrots. Because carrots are a bona fide vegetable that should make you healthier. And I'm just saying... I wouldn't think that would be very popular, people.
No, and we already badmouthed carrots earlier in this discussion.
Yeah, we did.
Aren't tomatoes supposed to be a fruit?
A fruit, of course they are a fruit, which is weird, yeah. 87% of people like green beans. Of course, those are pretty good if cooked properly. It does, you know, things are changed by the way they are cooked. Like, for example, Brussels sprouts, if you put them on a pan and you bake them in the oven with some olive oil, they're delicious. But if you boil them, they're horrible.
Not for me. Let me tell you something about Brussels sprouts. I missed several television shows because of Brussels sprouts and asparagus. My mother and lima beans. Those are the three I can't stand. I don't care how you do them, how you grill them.
Because
what you
she said
on.
You can't watch the show
if
until you finish
eat,
your
if
Brussels sprouts.
You don't
sprouts.
Eat those Brussels sprouts. You're not going to watch Danny Thomas tonight. And I thought to myself, Danny, I'll see you next week because I'm not eating these.
I had something like that except with Leave It to Beaver. So I remember.
Oh, there you go. See?
Yeah. Yeah. The most hated vegetable is turnips. I don't care for turnips.
I don't think I've eaten turnips very often enough to even know what they remember.
They
what
have
they
a
taste.
Strong flavor. They're very they're it's a root vegetable and they're kind of a strong. Boiled turnips are pretty bad.
I think I'm distracted by other tastier roots.
Yeah, exactly. Radishes, those are hardly worth making. Although you know what, they're easy to grow in the garden. Radishes.
I love radishes.
Brussels sprouts, people don't like those either. 21% hate Brussels sprouts. So I guess, again, the big shocker, 1 in 4 say they've never actually eaten a vegetable. So,
all right, who are these people? Because you know what? I think they have very indulgent parents, not to be judgmental. But especially if you're a baby boomer, excuse me, I can't imagine too many parents back in the 50s and 60s when we were growing up or teenagers that would have said, oh, if you don't want to eat that, you don't have to.
Yeah, I don't know because
that was more of something a boomer would do as a parent later.
Well, again, this survey doesn't say it was done across a broad spectrum of ages, so it's possible that young kids are not eating their vegetables. You know what I mean? It's possible.
Yeah, well, that could be.
Yeah.
That could be.
All right, our final survey today. According to this survey of 2,000 adults, a third of Americans admit that they have ended a relationship over household chores. I guess this is a big deal for couples, and it just nags at them over time until they just eventually break up and say, I can't handle how messy you are.
The deal breaker for me would be if I were living with a man, and I did for a long time, and we're sharing a bathroom, put the seat down.
See, I never, listen, that's one of the classic arguments. I never totally understood it completely. Like, what's the difference whether I put the seat down or you put the seat up? You need it down, I need it up. Like, why do I always have to put it in the default position for you rather than you put it, why don't you put the seat up when you're done?
Well, first of all, speaking as the unofficial spokesperson for House Beautiful or Better Homes and Gardens,
it looks better when
you
down.
Yes, when you walk into a bathroom, and even if the seat is up, not the seat, but the top. Okay.
So
the
do you
lid,
put the whole top the is, down too, right? With the fuzzy,
like to the
with the fuzzy top and everything.
Yeah. Oh, not fuzzy! Please don't put fabric there. Let's not even talk about what that'll do. No, I think the whole thing closed looks better. Number one, and secondly, the seat up looks like something's unfinished. To me, so it doesn't look right. Would you sell a? Here's it. Would you show a house you wanted to sell with the toilet seat up?
I guess the argument would be: do you always want to live in a house that looks like it's ready to be sold?
No, that's not the argument.
I thought that was what you're trying to say. You're trying to make the case.
There are things that drive you crazy on an everyday basis. Leaving the toilet seat up is one. If you leave dirty dishes in the sink, I think that's a big one too.
That's
isn't
bad.
That didn't that come out high on this survey?
Yeah,
here?
Yeah, it
just,
it
yeah. 45%, right?
Oh, yeah, here's the scale. You're right. Dirty
because
dishes
in the morning,
in the
you got to get up and look at that. And whoever gets up to make the coffee first or gets up first and looks at that has to start the day looking at, you know, the residue from last night's dinner or lunch or
now
whatever.
You got to put, before you go to bed at night, you got to put the dishes, either put the dishes in the dishwasher or wash the dishes. You don't want to wake up in the morning with a sink full of dirty dishes.
That's right. True. And when you live alone, I will say this, when you live alone, it's easier to let it slide at night. But then in the morning you wake up, it's equally unpleasant whether you live with somebody or not.
Do you think that's a problem when somebody lives alone for a long time and they develop a certain set of habits they like?
Yes.
And then they'd move in with someone else and it's very hard for them to adapt to the habits of the other person.
Classic old-fashioned stereotype, you know, the confirmed bachelor, you know, who moves in with somebody. Or I knew someone once who lived with his parents as an adult, and they did everything for him. You know, they literally did his wash and folded it, and it was warm and folded in the drawer.
So, okay, so some of this has to do with how kids are raised as well and how they are coddled and how little housework they end up doing when they're growing up. Might indicate how much housework they're going to do as adults.
It's been a long time that women have been in the workplace, and you can't come home exhausted from a day's work and then come home and be expected to clean the house.
It's a rare situation for a man to be the neat one and his wife to be the messy one.
Mm-hmm. I think so.
I'm sure it happens. I'm sure it's a thing, but I just would imagine it's mostly the other way around.
I mean, I would think it's almost a Neanderthal at this point who would say to some woman who's got a brain in her head, you know, that that's woman's work. I mean, not if you want a relationship to last beyond the second date. That's why I think you have to get this stuff clear in the beginning. The first time you see whether it's you're living together or whether you're first married, newly married, and you see something where he's leaving the dishes in the sink or the toilet seat up or whatever it is, you got to say something there. Don't just let it slide, because if you let it slide the first time, he's going to assume there's nothing wrong. So,
okay. So in wrapping things up today, what is your final thought for the day, Susan?
First of all, eat your broccoli. And secondly, put the seat down if it applies. And third, call an old friend. Pick up the phone, even if it's long distance and it means a phone call once in a while.
Great advice. On that note, we'll say goodbye. Thanks for being with us today, folks. Be sure and check us out at olderandwiser.com. Don't forget to subscribe. We'll see you next time.